Shmuel Aleph Perek Chof Hei. Vayomos Shmuel. Even though we've been talking about Shaul in David all this time, Shmuel is still alive till now. Vayomos Shmuel, and Shmuel was Nifter. Vayikovtsu Chol Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael gathered together. Vayisbedu lo, and they said Hespedim. There were eulogies. And they buried him in his house in Ramah. All of Klal Yisrael gathered together. And the truth is, it was sort of a mida keneged mida. That Shmuel was unique in the fact that he traveled all over the country. He had a route that he went to every place so that people, he should be able to judge the people and help the people. And he... And then he returned to Ramah, which is where his house was. But he traveled all around. And Klal Yisrael felt that closeness to him. And here they all gathered together. It was their turn to travel for him. So they all traveled to be maspid him and to bury him in his house, Boromah. Shmuel was a unique leader. Besides the fact, as we mentioned, he was a shofet, he was the leader of Klal Yisrael. He was also a Navi, he was the famous Shmuel HaNavi, and he was from the greatest. Moshe Aaron v'cho HaNavi, Shmuel b'korei Shmo. He's placed on a par with Moshe and Aaron. And he's also in the line of transmission of Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yoshua ben Nun, generation after generation. The Rambam lists him as Shmuel was the bearer of Torah. He was carried the chain of Torah Shebal Peh. So he was the leader of Klal Yisrael. So even though Shaul and David seem to have our attention at the moment, when Shmuel was Nifter, all of Klal Yisrael came together to be maspid him, to bury him. Interestingly, the Gemara says in Baba Basra, on Daf Tes Vov, Sefer Shmuel was written by Shmuel up to the point of his death. After he was Nifter, so God, Hachoze, and Nosson HaNavi were the ones who completed Sefer Shmuel. It says later on, in Perek Chof Ches, it mentions again that Shmuel was Nifter, and Shaul wanted to ask Shmuel what was going to happen in his war with the Plishtim. He wanted to communicate with him, and there was a whole story about how he communicated with Shmuel, even though Shmuel was already Nifter. There was a woman who was involved in Balasov. And it says over there in Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk Gimel, Ushmuel Meis, Vayispidu Lo Kol Yisrael, Shmuel was Nifter, and everyone was Maspidim, and they buried him. When the Gemara says Shmuel wrote his Sefer up to the point of his death, the way the Girsa we have in the Gemara quotes that pasuk in Perek Chof Ches. I looked around, I didn't notice an answer. It repeats later on that Shmuel was Nifter, but in the chain of events, he was Nifter now, and I don't know why it doesn't say he wrote up to this point. But after he was Nifter, God and Nosson finished Sefer Shmuel. Shmuel's Yartzeit is brought down in Halacha. For those people who are able to, it says a Baal Nefesh, somebody who feels on that Madrega, it's an Indian to fast on certain fast days that affected Klal Yisrael. For himself, if he's able to. So it's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, interestingly enough, in Orach Chaim, Simen Tov Kuf Pei, it says on the 28th of Iyar, this is the Girsa of the 29th, but on that was the Yartzeit of Shmuel, and there are those tzaddikim who fast on the day of his Yartzeit, as a day of a tragedy for Klal Yisrael, that Shmuel was Nifter. And it's brought down that there was a minig to go to his kever on the Yartzeit, you know, for centuries afterwards, people would go to the kever of Shmuel HaNavi. From now till Shaul is Nifter is only 4 months. It's a short time span. And we'll see what happened in the span of these, in this short time. Shmuel was a judge for 10 years. And then afterwards, Shaul was the king for another 2.5 years, and then Shaul was Nifter, and David is the ruler over Klal Yisrael. Vayokom David. Now it seems David was also at the Levaya. It says Vayikovtsu Kol Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael gathered together when Shmuel was Nifter, and David was there also. After all, we just learned in the previous parak how David was together in the cave with Shaul, and he could have killed Shaul, but all he did is he cut off the corner of Shaul's garment so that later on he could show Shaul how he could have done bodily harm, and yet he sufficed with just cutting off this corner of the garment. And Shaul at that point had swore to him, I know you're going to be the king, and he cried, and he said to David, Tzadik atzmi meni, you're a greater tzadik than I am. After these words, David felt obviously safe enough to go to the Levaya, that Shaul wouldn't hurt him, especially at a time of mourning where they're preoccupied with other thoughts. He went to the Levaya. But Vayokum David, afterwards, David got up, Vayered al Midbar Paran, and he went down to Midbar Paran. Some of Forshim learning went to Midbar Paran. The Malba mentions that as soon as the Levaya was over, now already David was again afraid for his life. David was the king, but the word was not spread through Klal Yisrael. For whatever reason, Shmuel had the nevuah that he's supposed to make David the king, and yet Shaul was the acting king until he was Nifter. So David was the king, but he wasn't publicly known as such. Before Shmuel was Nifter, or perhaps afterwards, maybe his Talmidim spread the word, but the word was getting out now that David had been made the king. So after the Levaya, now a sudden, David again was afraid. Once it becomes public news that he's anointed as the king, even though Shaul knew that he was going to be king, and he said to him, I know you're going to be king, but just the fact that Shmuel had anointed him, and again it's becoming the news, he was again afraid for his life. So he went down to Midbar Paran. Midbar Paran is all the way in the south. It says in Bamidbar, in Parshas Bahaloscha, Perek Yud Pasuk Yud Beis, after Bnei Yisrael left Har Sinai, the next stop was Midbar Paran. So it was really far away from everything, where he hoped that Shaul wouldn't get him. The problem is he's in the desert and he doesn't have food. So we're going to see he had to send messengers up north to hopefully get some more supplies. Ve'ish b'ma'on. There was a man in Ma'on, Umaseu b'Karmel, and his possessions, his business was in Carmel. And the pasuk connects it, v'ish, with that vav that connects it to the previous pasuk. Klal Yisrael is now occupying themselves with mourning over Shmuel. And we're introduced to somebody novel, who we're going to see is shearing his sheep. It was a successful season, and they make a party, and they finally are able to reap all the benefits of the past year's work. And he's making a party. Klal Yisrael is mourning Shmuel, and Novel, we're going to see, is making a party. There's also a connection, V'ish b'mo'on. What's going to happen now only happened because Shmuel was Nifter. Because when Shmuel was Nifter, for David to actually paskin, that Novel is going to be chayev misa, we're going to see that David holds that Novel is chayev to be killed because of his actions. Shmuel was no longer alive. So it could be once Shmuel wasn't alive, David took that step of paskening that Novel has to be killed, and we'll see what transpires. It could also be that it was at this point, the Ish B'mon, Maseo Bar Carmel, it's connected to what happened shortly before with Shaul. When David had Shaul in the cave, his men insisted that David should kill Shaul. They knew that David was also the Mashiach Hashem, and David is being, and Shaul is a Rodef, Shaul is after out to kill David, and they were wandering around and being pursued, and they felt that David had a right to kill Shaul. And David insisted, no, Shaul is also the Mashiach Hashem. And David stood up against his men and said, we're not doing anything to Shaul. But now, V'ish B'mon, we're going to have a person who's nowhere near the character of Shaul. A person who's a wicked person. And we're going to be introduced to Naval. And when he scorns David, and his men feel that Naval's Chayiv Misa, David agrees. There's a connection. Shaul is one thing, Naval is totally different. V'ish B'mon. But he had this man in Mon, Maseo Ba'Carmel, and he worked in Carmel. I saw some of Forsham learn that whenever they had an appeal, or the community in Mo'un had some stucco event, and they said, everybody in Mo'un has to contribute. So Novel would say, well, I'm not from Mo'un, my business is in Carmel. And whenever in Carmel they had some type of collection for tzedakah, he said, Carmel, my home is in Mo'un. You know, nowadays if you live in New York and you work in New Jersey, you got to file a New York and a New Jersey return. But this guy used it both ways. He didn't pay in Mo'un and he didn't pay in Carmel. Because we'll see in a moment he was a stingy, stingy person. V'o'ish godol mo'id. And the man was very wealthy. V'lod son shloshes alofim. And he had 3,000 sheep. V'elef izim and 1,000 goats. V'ahibig zozes tsono ba'Carmel. The incident we're going to learn about, the story is taking place when he's shearing his sheep in Carmel. When the Gemara has a drasha in Gittin, it says that if a person doesn't have too much possessions, he doesn't have too much money, he should give tzedakah. And if he has a lot of money, he should certainly give tzedakah. Whatever it is, he should give tzedakah. And if he gives tzedakah, he'll be able to escape from Dina Shel Gehenim. And the Gemara gives a mashal, if a guy has to cross the river, and he has two sheep, one of them has the wool that's shorn, and the other one doesn't. And they're going through the water. So the sheep that has a lot of wool on it, like a sponge, it soaks up and it gathers the water, that sheep is in danger of drowning, because the water just accumulates on the sheep and weighs it down, and it can't go through. And the sheep that doesn't have wool is able to cross through. Nothing's weighing it down. The Gemara learns if you shear your possessions, you cut off the wool, you take off your mice, you give tzedakah. If you cut off some of your possessions for tzedakah, then you're able to cross through the river and you'll escape. You'll escape from the Dina Shel Gehenim. It was expected that when in times, especially people in the times of Chazal, when they learned the drasha and they saw a pasuk, they knew even though this these words of Chazal were supposed to be something that they lived with. And a person at the time when he's shearing the sheep should take that lesson, that just like the sheep, when it's shorn, can cross through the river, we can cross through life and go over Medina Shel Gehenim if you give tzedakah. And therefore, some of Forshim point out it was like a taina novel that at the time that he's shearing his sheep, he didn't take the lesson of giving tzedakah. Also, you should know this man was somebody who knew David, the Malbim says. V'ish B'mon, he was in this place Ma'on, which was one of the deserts where David had been. In other words, he knew David. And don't think that he was poor, but he knew David, and he was very wealthy. So we would expect that when David sends a message to him or requesting help, he would comply and he would help out David. This happened when he was shearing the sheep. And when they cut the wool off of the sheep, they used to make a big suud, they used to make a big party. First of all, it's different than nowadays where people get a monthly paycheck or a weekly, whatever their schedule is. Over there, a farmer or somebody with the sheep, there were certain seasons when you brought in the crops and you finished, and it was a tremendous, and it was all these weeks there's no income, and all of a sudden he cuts off the wool, and this is a tremendous, like in one shot, he gets a tremendous paycheck. It's all those months of work is finally paid off when he cuts the wool. So it was a big simcha. Also, there's a mitzvah of giving reishis hagez when you shear the sheep. you're supposed to give the first cuttings, whatever, from you should give part of that wool to the Kohen. So it was a special mitzvah to be done. And if you had any sheep that was the firstborn, a Bechor, you're not allowed to cut off the wool. You have to give it to the Kohen. So at the time that they're cutting the wool, they'd make sure that the Bechor goes to the Kohen, the firstborn sheep, and they would give their parts of the shearings to the Kohen. So it became, in Gashmis, there was a reason to celebrate, and it became a Sudas mitzvah because they took care of these other mitzvahs at this time. So the derech was people made a large party. It was something to celebrate. And this happened when he shore the sheep. V'shem ha'ish novel. The man we're talking about is novel. V'shem ishto Avigoyel. And his wife was Avigail. And we're going to see more about novel. V'isha tova sechel. First of all, we're introduced to Avigail. Avigail had a good seichel, which is interesting. It's not a description you normally find, you know, previously in Tanakh, tova seichel. Some point out that in general the women didn't have the book knowledge. They didn't learn in yeshiva. They didn't have the same Torah as the men who were oisik in Torah. But by the woman, she was praised for tova seichel, poshut a good head. And she was very intellectual. Not that a man is praised as a chacham. He learned a lot of Torah. He accumulated not a lot of knowledge. By Avigail, it was tova seichel. She had a good seichel. Not that she necessarily did the book knowledge, but she was known for her intellect. The tova seichel. Bifas toar, she had a beautiful form. Or she was externally and internally intellectual. Physically, she was exceptional. V'yoish kosher, but the man novel was the opposite. He was by nature, he was kosher, he was a hard person. V'ram alolim, and his actions were bad. V'hu chalibi, and he was from the house of Kalev. Sometimes you have a guy who has a difficult nature. He's kosher, his midos, just he's a difficult person, but he knows that he's supposed to do what's right. And if he hears the Musa Shmuz and people tell him certain things, sometimes, you know, he doesn't really want to help others, but, you know, he's part of society and he knows what he's supposed to do, so he doesn't want to do it, but he does it anyways. Such a person, you can inspire him in a community pressure, and he knows he should do it. Sometimes you can get him to do something good. On the other hand, you have some people who don't want to share and they don't want to do what's right, but they have a good heart. That pintle of yid inside, they're really a good person, just they put up a barrier, they don't want to. That also is a possible that you can appeal to his emotions. Here, David and his men are starving, or perhaps he should even be afraid of David, who's got hundreds of men with him. But Novel was an ish kasha. He had a difficult nature. His heart was not into doing good. V'ram malolim. And his actions, and malolim is actions that are thought out and planned. This is his way of living. He was ram malolim. He was on the bad track. He was not interested in helping others in terms of his actions. So you can be married to a wife like Avigail, and normally a wife influences her husband. But sometimes you can have a guy like Novel, that you can have a wife like Avigail, and he still remains a Novel. So he's ish kosher v'ram alolim, and therefore we'll see he responded the way he did. V'hu chalibi. The way it's written, it's like kalibo. He was like his heart. Like tocho kibaro. The way he was inside is the way he was outside. His heart was very bad. And that's the way he showed himself. He didn't put on a front of being a nice person. But who like Kaliboy? He was like his heart. He let everybody know exactly the way he felt and the way he behaved. Reflected his feelings. Also, who Kalibi? Some learn it comes to the word like a kelev, like a dog. One of the characteristics of a dog, it says in the end of Yeshaya, Ba'klovim azei nefesh. Dogs are very brazen. They're very bold. And they can have plenty of food in the house, but if another dog comes, they'll bark and they'll chase them away, and they don't allow any intruder to come in and touch their possessions and their domain. Novel was like that. Vahu Kalibi, he was like a dog. That whatever was his, he's not sharing, he's not giving to anyone else. Vahu Kalivi. That's a funny name to give, either he was called that he was from Kalev, or his name Novel, some learn, his name Novel was given to him from birth. And you find such a concept in Chazal. Rashi brings it in Parshas Baaloscha. When Al-Odos Ha'isha Kushis Asher Lokoch, they spoke about Moshe, that he married Sipori, took this Isha Kushis. And Rashi mentions sometimes a person will call his son, who's handsome, he'll call him Kushi. He'll call him a black, a Shvarza. And he'll call him Kushi because since he's so handsome, he doesn't want there to be an Ayin Hara. People speak about this person as such a special son. So he gives him a name that does not reflect his true nature, but it's a name that people immediately think, oh, you know, he's got that type of son, there's nothing to be jealous of. Could be here also. He was called Novol, he was Kalibi, these are names that imply that he wasn't good, and his father, I guess, was hoping that he would turn out good, but he gave him a name like that, hoping that the name would detract from an Ayin Hara. But actually, it turned out that he lived up to his name. And others learned that the name of the man was Novel, was not a name given to him at birth. V'shem Ha'ish Novel was a name that he made for himself. Went through life, that's how he was known. He's Novel, and because that's the way he was. In Divrei HaYomim Aleph, Perek Beis, it mentions Chetzron, who was the grandson of Yehuda, had three sons. He had one son, Rum. And Rum had a son who had a son who had a son who had a son, and eventually got to David HaMelech. But David HaMelech always had detractors who said he came from Rus HaMoaviyah, and his lineage is tainted, and he can't be the king because of his yichus. That was one line of the lineage. Went through Rum, ended up by David, but there was a Rus HaMoaviyah there. Another line of the lineage went with a different son, Yachzel, who ended up, the Mephoshim say, married a woman by the name of Atara, who was really, wasn't Jewish. And so therefore that branch of the lineage was also ruined. The third son of Chetzron was called Kalibi, called Kalivoi, and that branch is where Novel came from. So Novel could be felt that David, he heard that David was anointed as the king, but he's got a better yichus than David does. And therefore he scorned David. He doesn't understand who's this David, who's his yichus. He felt that he's a lot better. He's more fit to be the king. But who Kalibi? He came from Kalev ben Yefuna. And this was one of the reasons that David felt that he would help out their family. And if David needs food, the first turn is to his family. So he's going to ask Novel to help out. Vayishma David Bamidbar. David heard out there in the desert, Ki gozeis Novel Astono, that Novel is cutting the wool off of the sheep. So it's a time that there'll hopefully be a lot of parnasa, and he'll be able to help. Vayishlach David Asara Na'orin. David sent 10 of his lads. Vayomer David la Na'orin. David said to the Na'orin, Alu Carmela, go up to Carmel. Uvasim al Novel, and come to Novel. Ushe'eltam loy vishmi. Ask him in my name, L'shalom, for peace. Inquire after his well-being. Give him a blessing for peace. See how he's doing. He sent 10 Na'orin. First of all, that's a sign of tremendous kavod. In other words, he sent the whole entourage in order to have a meeting with Novel. He didn't just send one stray person. He sent the whole group. Could be he was hoping that Novel would send back so much food, you need a lot of people to carry it. So he sent 10 people that they should be able to carry back all the supplies. It could also be he was hoping that if Novel would see 10 people and realize that David has a group with him, it's not just one single refugee, one single guy escaping from Sheol, but there's a whole group. With 10 Na'arim, he'd feel sort of compelled to give something, not to just tell all of them to leave. come to Novel and ask him in my name. In other words, Novel knows David. And if you tell him my name, we're family, and he's got plenty, you're coming on a day when he's shearing the sheep, he'll help out. V'amartem kol achoy. And you should say to him, kol achoy. That either means ko, the way it is right now, lachoy should be the rest of your life. Novel, you're having a lot of success. May you continue ad mei v'esrim. Koy lachoy, as long as you're alive, it should be this way. Rashi mentions that I could be tafasta merubalo tafasta, that the derech wasn't to give a brocha of mamish for the rest of his life, but he says, oh, let me nibir ayur, you know, and it's next year should be the same. Koyis mochar, koyis chaya, like we had in Tanakh. Like this time next year you'll be alive, and whatever Sarah should have a child, or whatever the psukim is. But Martim Kolachoy, at this time next year you should be alive. Va'ata shalom, and you should have peace. Uveischa shalom, and your household should have shalom. V'chol shalacha shalom, and all that you have, all your possessions, there should be shalom throughout without any problems. So whatever you want, you personally, the family, the business, everything that you have, everything should go b'shalom. And it could be it's also hinting again to this. This is the message to tell him when he has to give tztaka. Because v'hoya maisa hatztaka shalom. From giving tztaka, that creates peace, it creates shalom. And therefore, you should remember that this is a time for him to give, to maintain the shalom, and to give tztaka. Va'ata shamati, and he told him, now I've heard, ki gozes imloch, that they're shearing your sheep. Ata now, and he's stressing it's got to be done now, ata now, haroyim asher lecha, your shepherds, hayu imanu, were with us. As we've been wandering around, but you had men with us. Lo hechlamnu, we didn't embarrass them or shame them, even though they joined us, and David had an army. And when you have a bunch of soldiers wandering around, they normally start up and they make trouble with the people they encounter. Certainly shepherds and people like that. Or here you got the army and they meet these shepherds out there in the desert somewhere. It'd be expected that they should rob them, and they should certainly taunt them and verbally abuse them. But lo hechnamnu, we didn't shame them. And they weren't lacking anything. Or we didn't take anything from them. As long as they were in Carmel, and I've been with my men in the area, we didn't do anything to your shepherds. Others learned, we didn't cause them shame, meaning if we would have stolen some of the sheep, you would call them for an accounting. You'd say, I gave you 3,000 sheep. How come we're missing some of them? But we didn't cause them that shame because we didn't take anything. Secondly, v'lo nifkad lahem u'umah, they weren't lacking anything. Because not only didn't David's men steal sheep, they made sure that nobody else stole sheep, no wild animals came and took the sheep. V'lo nifkad lahem, they weren't lacking anything, means we saw to it that your sheep were protected, that nothing should happen to your sheep. In other words, we were actively helping you. Ko yimei ha-yosem ba-Carmel, as long as they were in Carmel. Sha'alas ne'orecha. Go ahead and ask your ne'orin. V'yagidu loch, and they will tell you. V'yimtzu ha-ne'orim chein be'necha, let the ne'orim find favor in your eyes. And the term chein, favor, is even if a guy doesn't deserve it. Sometimes you give him chayin, like a matnas chinam. You give him a present for nothing. He doesn't deserve it. But let the arm find chayin in your eyes. Ki al yom tov banu. Because we're coming by a yom tov. We're coming by a celebration. So David is telling his men, tell Novel the following 3 points. The first point is that we're family. He's v'hu kalibi. He's from my family. He should help us out. The second point is we help them out. And the truth is, since we help them, he's mechuyev to reciprocate. He owes us one. We helped him. And the third point is, he should, in general, he should be a giving person at a time like this. Okay, our Yom Tov Bonu, we're coming on a Yom Tov, he should give us. It's only right that when he has such a surplus and such a celebration, he should share. We're coming on a Yom Tov. Rashi brings down, it was Erev Rosh Hashanah. Because we'll see, Novel is given 10 days to do tshuva. And when he doesn't, he ends up dying. The 10 days, Chazal say, were Aseres Yimei Tshuva. This happened Erev Rosh Hashanah, and they sent the message, and they told Novel, Ki al Yom Tov Bonu, another explanation is, we're coming for the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. We need food. And for Yom Tov. And Novel drove them away, and he didn't want. So he was given 10 days. Those were Aseres Yimei Tshuva. And he didn't change, and he didn't do tshuva, and then he was killed. Other Mefarshim point out that chronologically, knowing that Shmuel was nifter in the end of Iyar, and Shoal only lived another 4 months afterwards, and we're gonna be learning more till the end of Shmuel Aleph what happened with Shoal, and this didn't happen right after Shoal was nifter, right before Shoal was nifter. This must have happened before. Ki al Yom Tov Banu, we're coming for Yom Tov, was the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Shmuel was just nifter. David got up and he went to Midbar Paran, and this was right afterwards when everyone's being Isaac, the news, and everyone's being Isaac in the Hespedim of Shmuel. They sent this message to Novel. They said it's Shavuos. Ki al Yom Tov Banu, we're coming for Shavuos, and therefore we need food. In general, there's a rule. It's a pasuk in Mishle. It's like a lav midivrei kabbalah. The Novi tells us what you're not allowed to do. There's a pasuk al tilcham es lechem ra ayin. You're not allowed to eat the bread of a stingy person. Because if you go to the person, you know he doesn't want to give you, but he sort of feels coerced. In other words, you come and whatever. In other words, you sort of have to give him. In other words, he feels he has to give. You shouldn't eat from that meal. If the person doesn't want to give you, you shouldn't take it. Here what David is telling him is, on one hand there's a consideration not to take anything from Novel, because Novel's not the type of person who wants to share. On the other hand, here's the case of the mitzvah of Oinig Yom Tov, that the alternative is to spend Yom Tov without eating, starving. The inyan of not taking from a stingy person is overrode the covet Yom Tov, and therefore Ki al Yom Tov Banu, and therefore we're going to send the message to Novel, and he should give food. Also on Yom Tov, we know there's a mitzvah, you got to be Mesameach, Ager, Yosom, and Almana, all the people who don't have. So al Yom Tov Banu, on a Yom Tov especially, you should be helping out those who need. This was the message to Novel. To Nana, you should now give, and please give, Esa Shir Timsa Yorcha, whatever you're able, La'avadecha, to your servants, U'levincha L'David, and to your son David. David uses this term of endearment that he feels to Novel, their family, give to your son David. Ki al Yom Tov Banu, some stress, it's written without an aleph, as if to say, we're coming for Yom Tov. And even though I know that you don't want to give, but Banu for us, without an aleph, Banu means for us. Ki al Yom Tov Banu, I realize that's not that you want, but the truth is we really need the food. We really need it. So Banu in us, we need you to help. Vayavo Nari David. The Na'arim, the lads of David came. Vayedabru el Novel, and they spoke to Novel, Kechol hadvarim ho'ele, like all of these words. Or this plea of David was couched in a very respectful manner, with a number of, he sent a whole group of 10 people, and they said it with a lot of derech eretz, and they made a number of salient points that mitzad the family, mitzad the fact that David and his men helped out Novel, there's a chiyuv, and in general he should be a giving at this time. They really made all the points why Novel should help. you should know that the message was conveyed exactly like it was supposed to be. Don't think that they told Novel something else when they got there. But by Darbel Novel Kachol Hadvarim Ela, they said all of these things. And they did it b'shem David, and they mentioned that they're coming from David. Vayonuchu. And they didn't add on something. Sometimes the guy makes a request, and then afterwards he puts on something and it ruins the whole message. But no, Vayanuchu, they stopped. Once they made their presentation, they argued their case, Vayanuchu, they rested and they stopped. They didn't say anything else. And by stressing that they stopped, lets you know that Novel now, there's a pause, and Novel can think of his response. It wasn't offhand, it wasn't said without thought, but with contemplation and forethought, Novel is going to respond to David's request. Some learn Vayanuchu that they rested. The Gemara's mashma that he did give them to eat. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that there were 10 na'arim, and he gave each one of them a bite. And the zechus of each one got a bite. Novel was given 10 days to do tshuva. That's one pshat in the Gemara. But in the pasuk, it doesn't say that they got to eat. It says Vayanuchu, they rested. In other words, they were weary from the travel and they sat down. And some of course in the Malbim points out, Mashmat, he did not give them to eat and he didn't give them to drink and he sent them on their way hungry. All they did was Vayanuchu, they sat down. Similar in Vayanuchu, they rested and they put down all of their baggage and they made themselves at home, and that got Novel even more upset. But whatever, they rested, and Novel gave them the following response. Vayan Novel. Novel responded to them in a harsh manner. Es avdei David, the servants of David, vayomer, and he said. In Pasuk Tes, they're called Nare David, the attendants, the lads of David. This Pasuk they're called Avodim of David. Because the truth is they were the Avodim of David, they were his servants. And that was certainly the way Novel addressed them, because he thought of them as lowly people. Ah, they're just the servants of David. And we'll see in a moment he has no respect for David. So they're the underlings of a nobody in Novel's eyes. But David himself treated them like Na'arim, not like Avodim, but like Na'arim, like his lads. They're part of his group. In general, that's the one of the marks of an Adam Godel, is the way he relates to those under him. Rabbi Akiva Eger in the Tshuvas, in the Hakdama, the introduction to Rabbi Akiva Eger's Tshuvas, it brings down a few instructions that Rabbi Akiva Eger left to the family, that when they're going to print his writings, they should do the following. And one thing he mentions is, if there's ever a Tshuva, and it's addressed from so-and-so, and you know he's my Talmud, when you print up the Shailos and Tshuvas, don't say a question was asked from the Talmud. Because in my life, I never called my Talmidim, Talmidim. Because who knows who learned more from who? Did they learn from me or did I learn from them? And therefore, I never called them Talmidim. So whenever you print the tshuva, even if you know he's my Talmud, never say that. Just say from Rav so-and-so comes the following question. Here also, David didn't relate to his men as the Avdei David. For him, they were called Na'arim. But Novel responded and he said, Me David, who's David? Umi ben Yishai, who's the son of Yishai? Hayom Rabu Avodim. Today there's a lot of Avodim, Hami sports, and that break loose from their Ish Mipnei Adonov. Every man from his master. It seems to be, you never had this previously. Everyone, if you had your master, you didn't rebel. You didn't go on, do your own thing. You follow the authority. Who's this David? He's on the run, and David is the renegade. He's running away from Shaul. He broke free from his master. And you're sending me a message to help out David? Not only that, but sometimes it's an idea. Some people figure, they're not known, they'll first get infamous. Let them all know, even if they did a terrible crime, let them get their name in the headlines. And then later on, they'll straighten out the reputation. But first of all, they should get to be known. Novel's saying, first of all, David himself is no good. He's like an Eved who breaks free from his master. But don't even think he becomes famous as a famous gangster or a rebel or anything like that. Because Hayom Rabu Avodim. Now all of a sudden, nowadays, it seems there's a lot of Avodim who are breaking loose. So what David's doing is a terrible thing. He breaks free from his master, and it's not even unique that he stands out. And he's nobody. Me David and me Ben Yishai. Nowadays, a lot of people are like that. It could be also he's saying Hayom Rabu Avodim. Now there are a lot of Avodim who break free from their master, meaning, how can I send food and drink? There's so many of you, I'm not going to do anything. You know, it's just I don't want to get involved. There's too many people that I'd have to deal with. V'lokachti eslachmi, should I take my bread? V'esmeimai in my waters? V'es tivchosi in whatever I shechted, asher tavachti legozazoi, I shechted, so I should have meat to give to my workers, those who shore the wool. V'nosati la'anoshim, and I should give that to men, asher lo yadati, that I don't know, emi zehema, where they even come from. Give it to strangers. Could be, he's mentioning, he made this party, this celebration, the Tivchosi, asher tavachti legozazoi, that I shechted for my workers. He was a miser, this novel. He didn't like to give money to anyone. But this was sort of for his workers, it was almost a business expense, they expected it had to be done. Some of Forsha mentioned, for his family, he never threw such a party. He was like the guy, you know, the multimillionaire who's saving the scraps of soap, you know, and he didn't spend anything on his family. For his workers, he had to, because that's sort of, you know, that's part of the business. They're not going to come if you don't give this party. But now I should give it to people I don't even know where they come from. He said, I'll take my bread and my water. What's the big deal with giving water? So some learn it means wine. And there's an interesting Gemara in Eruvin. And the Gemara says in Eruvin, and Daf Samach Hei, Uveirach eslach mecha ve'esmei mecha. There's a pasuk in the Torah that if you serve Hashem, He'll bless your bread and your water. And the Gemara learns out, just like bread is something you have to give maaser from, it's something that grows and you have to tithe, so too the water we're talking about, there's some maaser on. So obviously it doesn't mean water, it means wine. It means wine. Hashem will bless your bread and your wine. So why is it called water? The Gemara says any house called Bayis that the wine is not spilled like water doesn't have a simin bracha, which is the minig why by Havdalah we pour over the wine a little, and it's to show that the wine that's an overflowing cup, it's a simin bracha to overflow the cup. I noticed the Marshan Akamor, by the way, says it doesn't mean bedafka, guy spills his wine like water, because Baal Tashchis, he shouldn't stop wasting his wine. It means his attitude toward wine as he's a giving, he's living with that bracha, so somehow if he lives with that freeness that the wine flows like water and he's not so worried, you know, and certainly it's going to spill on occasion like water, then there'll be a simen bracha. The Ben Yehoyada has an interesting pshat in that Gemara. And he says like this, the word water, mem yud mem, is spelled the same way forwards and backwards. Because by water, before you begin drinking, and after you begin drinking, it's all the same. A person's mind is not affected at all by drinking water. Wine, of course, is spelled differently, the beginning and the end of Yud, and then there's an end of Nun. It's spelled differently, because when you begin drinking wine, it might be a Yud. By the time you finish the wine, it's spelled differently because a person is affected. A house sometimes refers to the body. In the end of Koheles, it discusses how when somebody in old age becomes infirm, and different parts of his body are no longer responding like they used to when he was young. It says, Bayom Sheyazu Shomrei Habayis, the guards of the house are already shaking, referring to the body's no longer strong. Kol Bayis Shein Yayin Nishbach Kamayim. Any house, meaning any body, that you don't drink the wine like water, meaning in moderation. You should be able to drink the wine like water. That just like after you finish drinking water, you're the same like before, so too by wine, you drink wine in moderation. You spill wine into your body like water, meaning it doesn't affect you. You drink just a little. If it's not that way, then there's no siman bracha. The guy who drinks wine and he's affected by it, then he's doing the wrong thing. He loses out on that siman bracha. So sometimes water means wine. Novel's saying, I should take my bread and my wine and what I've shechted for my workers and give it to strangers. And indeed, when Avigail sent supplies for David, we'll see she sent wine. She didn't send water, she sent two flasks of wine. But there are those who say it was water and it wasn't worth much, but he didn't even want to give water. In other words, Novel wanted to give nothing, not the bread, not the water even. Or perhaps it was near the desert and the water was valuable. But whatever it was, he refused to give the maimai, whether it's wine or water, and whatever the logic is, he refuses to give anything to David. I'm going to give it to people that I don't know, Amy Zahema, where they come from. So the Na'arim of David turned to go on their way. Vayashuvu vayavo, they returned and they came. Vayagidulo, and they told David, kachol advarim ha'ela, everything that transpired. The pasuk could have just said, vayashuvu, and they came to David. Why do you have to tell me they turned? I mean, obviously they went back to David. It could be it's stressing they turned and to go on their way, and there was like a hesitation, like every movement was done deliberately and slowly, and they're waiting for Novel to have a change of mind, change of heart. They turned to go on their way, but Novel didn't say anything different. So Vayeshuvu, they returned, and then they came to David, and they reported Kechol Hadvarim Ho'ela, everything that happened, down to the fact that we left and we gave him a moment to reconsider, and Novel refuses to help at all. Vayomer David La'anoshav. So David said to his men, Chigru Ishas Charbo, every man should put on their sword. Vayachgaru Ishas Charbo, and they all put on their, girded themselves with their sword. Vayachgar Gam David Ischarbo, and David also put on his sword. Normally you would have expected David to take the lead, to put on his sword first. But the Torah stresses they put on their sword, and then David. Vayalu Achrei David, and then they went up after David. Ka'arba Meosish, there were around 400 men. Umasayim Yoshva Alakelim, 200 remained behind with whatever supplies, whatever equipment David had. 400 were going with him. David Paskin, that novel is Chayiv Misa. And the discussion in the Gemara, it's mentioned a few places, and Megillah on Daf Yadalit, Tosis discusses it. Did the novel have a din of Moreid B'malchus? Was he rebelling against the king? And we're going to see Abigail's appeal to David is based on the fact that at this point anybody who argues with David is not a Moreid B'malchus, because it's not well known to everyone that David is king. Shaul is still the king. So if you start up with David, it's not called an offense against the monarchy. On the other hand, David at this point felt that it was well known that he was the king. We had before, when he went to Ochish, he had gone to the Plishtim when he first fled from Shaul. And then they identified him and they said, this was in Perek Chof Aleph, Posek Yud Beis, the Avodim, the servants of Ochish, said to him, Halozeh David Melech Haaretz, this is David, the king of the land, about whom they said, Shaul kills his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. But you see that the Goyim, the Plishtim, already called David Melech Haaretz, the king of the land. And the word did get out. Certainly by the time Shmuel was Nifter, he must have let people know the word was getting out that David was king. So David felt that that Novel is a Moreid B'Malchus. And the discussion is, by a Murid B'Malchus, do you need Bezdin to Paskin or not? Can the king decide that the person was a Murid B'Malchus on his own? Does he need the consent of the court? There are certainly certain leniencies adapted. Like, for instance, we'll see at night, normally Bezdin doesn't give a psak of Dinei Nefoshos at night, but we'll see over here this could be done at night. A king doesn't have to work with all of the requirements of Bezdin. But over here, could be he was a Morid B'Malchus, he don't need Bezdin. And if normally Morid B'Malchus does need a Bezdin, this might be even worse, because this is Cholek al Malchus Beis David. What you're doing is you're questioning the whole authority of Beis David, of Malchus Beis David. A different king, like if somebody would go against Shol, that's a Morid B'Malchus. This is an extra offense. You're questioning the whole Malchus of Beis David. But it could be he had a Beis Din. And what they all do, what he told them was, everybody should put on their sword. Because somebody who's Morid B'Malchus is given the Misa of Saif. He's killed by the sword. And what he told them was, decide whether Novel deserves to be killed. And if you feel that he should be killed, put on your sword. And David did not do anything yet. David said, when it comes to Dinei Nefashos, you start with the least important, and the greatest is the one to give his opinion last. So when they came back, and they were all agitated and all upset at the way Novel had responded, David said to his men, okay, put on your sword. If you feel that Novel should be killed like a Morid B'Malchus, and he deserves to be killed by the sword, you put it on. And they did that. So Vayachkaru Ishas Charbo, they all put on their sword because they felt Novel is definitely Chayiv Misa. Vayachkar Gam David Es Charbo. And once they paskin that, David agreed with the Psak. David also put on his sword. And then they all went follow David, 400 men, and they're all going to go to Novel. V'lavigayel Eishas Novel. To Avigayel, the wife of Novel, Higid Nar Echad, Mehan Orin. One of the lads, one of the servants over there, one of the boys said to Avigayel, Lamor, the following message. The following words. Hine Sholach David Malochim. David sent messengers. And the term Malochim, it could have said David sent Shluchim, or David sent Na'orim, or David sent Avodim. He sent Malochim. Angels. In other words, he sent Choshuva, they're called Malachim because he sent a Choshuva delegation. Mehamidbar. And he sent them from the desert, where they're starved and they're out there in the desert. It's urgent that they need food. And the message wasn't, give us food. He sent these messengers, Levariches Adonenu, to bless our master. They came to Novel with a very respectful greeting, with a blessing, v'amartem kol echoi, v'ata shalom, v'veischa shalom, v'chol asher lecha shalom, that he should have peace. And Novel didn't just refuse them. He could have just said, okay, no, I'm not giving it. But v'yot bohem, he like drove them off. Like, Rashi brings down, it says, v'yered ha'ayet al ha'bagorim. Ayat is like the vulture, that bird of prey that goes down on the pieces of the meat. Vayot b'hem, he drove them away like you'd chew away a bird. You know, he scorned them. The Targum says, v'kotz b'hon, he like despised them. He sent them away back with a message of bizayon. V'ho'anoshim tovim lanu ma'oid. You should know the men of David were very good for us. V'lo hochlamnu, we were not shamed. V'lo fakadnu mu'uma, nothing was lacking, as we mentioned before. They didn't verbally abuse us. They didn't take any of our possessions. Kol yemei hisalachnu itam, all the days that we walked with them. There was a lot of time that the shepherds of Novel were taking care of his 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and they had joined up with David, obviously, at one point, and they traveled together. B'yoseinu basada, we were in the field. Sometimes you leave the sheep in a pen, and the shepherds have some free time. They know they can leave the sheep for a few hours or whatever amount of time. And sometimes they're together with the sheep out there grazing with them. First they mentioned there were times that the sheep were left in the pen. And we had some free time and we were traveling together with Koimehi Salach Nuit, and we were walking together with the Na'arim of David, the Yosein of Asada. We were in the field and they didn't start up with us. And they were good to us. Choma Hayu Aleinu, and there were times that we were together with the sheep and David's men were like a wall for us, a protection. Gam Laila, Gam Yomam, by night and by day. Kol Yimei HaYoseinu Imam. All the time that we were with them, Royim Hatzayin, pasturing the sheep. We were together with the sheep and with them, and they were a protection for us by day and night. And you know, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, but when one person does a toiva for another, you have to know the exact ramifications, but the basic idea is that there is a, he can legally expect to get paid. I mean, obviously you have to know the details, but on a simple case, if a guy, let's say, always pays somebody to shovel his walk, and for some reason he's away and it snowed and somebody shoveled it for him, he can come to him and say, you know, you didn't ask me to shovel it, but it snowed, everyone pays for have the walk shoveled and I did it for you. You know, he has a taina that the person should have to pay. What the Nar was telling Avigail was they helped us out they deserve payment and he has a legal demand to have payment. And you see Vayot Bahem, that novel totally despised them and scorned them. Va'atan now, the EU should know, Uri'i, and see what your course of action should be. Matasi, what you should do. You got to do, act quickly. You got to do it now. Because the evil is finished with our master Novel Valkolbesu, his whole household. As we know, as the Na'arim of David went back to David, we know it's obvious that David's going to come and attack. If you don't do something, we're all finished. For who ben Belial? And Novel is a wicked person. Midabrei Lov, we can't reason with him. So it's up to you to do something to save our lives. It could be they're also mentioning who ben Belial, that Novel called David a ben Belial. Novel referred to David as, who's David and who's ben Yishai? Today you have many slaves who break free from their master. He called David a Belial, somebody who doesn't have the yoke of a master, but a wicked person. To call David a ben Belial, who ben Belial? And he called David that. Midabrei Lov, you can't reason with Novel. And therefore, if you don't act quickly, our lives are in danger. We'll see in Yirtzeh Hashem next week how Avigail saved him.
For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.